Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. Mills, what have we got this week?
Lyndon Hall has finished second in the Diamond League 1500 metre after a PB in Tokyo. In golf, Minji Lee has a late surge in the British Open, and we get excited for the Big Derby Super Netball Grand Final.
For our key story, we'll discuss Ash Barty's 13th career win in Cincinnati and the huge discrepancies in the tournament prize money that saw the women walk away with less than half that of the men's prize money. But first, let's take a look around the grounds.
In athletics, our athletes have kept the amazing results coming post-Tokyo, with Lyndon Hall running an impressive 1500 metre at the Nike Prefontaine Classic in Eugene, USA. It was a stacked final that included the Olympic champion Faith Kipyegon and Great Britain silver medalist Laura Muir, and Hall was up to the challenge, recording her third fastest time of 3:59.63, finishing just behind Kenyan Kipyegon, who set a new meet record of 3:53.23. Hall said after the run, the pace requested was pretty hot, so the race plan was simple, just try and hang on. Jess Hull finished just outside the top 10 with a time of 4:05.33. Over in Europe at the Citius meet in Bern, Germany, Olympic semi-finalist Liz Clay blew out the Tokyo cobwebs, climbing onto the podium with a time of 12:94 in the 100-meter hurdles to finish in third place.
In Aussie rules, we've been keeping track of the VFLW grand final that still is yet to be played because of lockdown restrictions in Melbourne. The key stakeholders are in discussions about playing the COVID-delayed grand final on the Toyota AFL grand final weekend after high-level talks between the AFL, Collingwood and Geelong last week. The clubs are desperate to play the match and are open to all suggestions to reward the players for their efforts over the season. The tricky part of this situation is that AFLW preseason is due to start at the beginning of September, with the grand final looking like taking place on Sunday, September 26. So some flexibility will be required from the AFLW clubs to allow this to go ahead. If it does happen on the 26th, you know we love stats and numbers, Millie, it'll be 57 days since Geelong last played and 64 days since the Collingwood Magpies last played. It's a long time between drinks.
That is. In netball, it's a New South Wales derby for the grand final of the Suncorp Super Netball Series after the Giants defeated West Coast Fever 64-61 at the USC Stadium on the weekend. Goalkeeper Sam Pullman was absolutely exceptional, leaving the world's best shooter, Jahneale Fowler, struggling to find the hoop. Pullman's efforts resulted in Fowler finishing the game with 41 goals, her lowest tally of the season, even after a pair of super shots in the last term. The grand final between the New South Wales Swifts and Giants is a show of resilience from both New South Wales teams, having what can only be described as a tumultuous year, jetting around the country to try and avoid COVID outbreaks and finally settling in Queensland to play the season out.
In soccer, the nominees for the PFA Women's Footballer of the Year and Women's Young Footballer of the Year have been released. The awards consider the performances of players plying their trade in the W League and Australians based overseas during the 2020-21 season, and recognise, reward and celebrate Australia's most outstanding players through peer recognition. Nominees for Women's Footballer of the Year are, I'm definitely on the Oscars right now, this is exciting, Dylan Holmes, Michelle Heyman, Sam Kerr and Ellie Carpenter. 21-year-old Carpenter has also been nominated in the Young Footballer of the Year alongside Kyra Cooney-Cross, Courtney Nevin and Mary Fowler.
In other soccer news, the Matildas have announced a brand new partnership with Commonwealth Bank, which will see the bank become the naming rights partner of the Matildas, Young Matildas and Junior Matildas, as well as pledging to play an integral role in supporting Football Australia's ambitious Legacy 23 plan to increase women's participation in football in the lead up to the 2023 World Cup here in Australia. On to BMX cycling, three-time Olympian Lauren Reynolds has placed fifth in the UCI BMX World Championships in the Netherlands, backing up from an impressive fifth place in Tokyo.
In golf, Aussie golfer Minji Lee stormed home late in the Women's British Open, shooting a final round 66, which left her tied for fifth overall, just two shots behind the winner Anna Nordqvist of Sweden, who secured her third major title. Joining Lee in the top 15 was Steph Kyriakou, the 20-year-old rookie of the year on the Ladies European Tour. Steph lit up the course early, even sharing a place atop the leaderboard at one point, but she struggled on the back nine and finished with a final round 69 that saw her in joint 13th place overall at 6 under par.
And in tennis, world number one Ash Barty was clinical in defeating Swiss rival Jill Teichmann 6-3, 6-1 in the final of the Cincinnati Masters to claim her 5th title of the year. Barty was dominant all week, not dropping a set in Cincinnati, and she'll head into the US Open later this month as the hot favourite to win major title number 3. Barty wasn't the only Aussie to taste success in Cincinnati, with Sam Stosur and China Zhang Shui taking home the women's doubles title. The duo scored an impressive 7-5, 6-3 victory against number 6 seeds Gabriela Dabrowski of Canada and Luisa Stefani of Brazil in the final. It was a drought-breaking title for Stosur and was her 27th career tour-level doubles title in total and first since winning the Australian Open alongside Xiang in 2019.
Have I told you how that is Gwen's sister?
That's Gwen Stefani's sister.
Yes, she's that
no,
good.
No, you're pulling my leg. You're pulling my leg. Why are you so excited? Also, Gwen Stefani's not Brazilian, is she? I hate you, Chloe.
Oh, come okay. On. Regather.
Tell us.
The key story is serious. I got to regather. Okay.
Tell us the key story.
Let's take a look at the key story. We're sticking with tennis on this one. So we saw the devastating earthquake that impacted Haiti. There were at least 2,200 people who were killed and tens of thousands of buildings were destroyed. Naomi Osaka, who is of Haitian and Japanese descent, said before she played the tournament in Cincinnati that she was going to donate all of her prize money winnings to help the earthquake relief. She was defeated in the third round by eventual finalist Teichmann and received $24,000. While on the male side of the draw, the same result earned $68,000. The tournament organisers were quick to match Osaka's donation to the Haiti Relief Fund, but the prize money discrepancies are stark. We posted on our Instagram earlier this week that Ash Barty earned $357,000 as a winner's check for her exceptional performance, while the winner of the men's tournament banked $918,000. The winner's prize money increased 129% from the previous year in the men's side of the draw, but somehow the women's winner received 9% less in 2021 than the winner did in 2020.
Yeah, similarly, we obviously just chatted earlier about the British Open golf tournament with the winner, Anja Nordqvist, winning $870,000, while Minji Lee, who tied for 5th, took home $219,000. So the British Women's Open set a new benchmark for prize money in women's golf with the announcement that the total prize fund for this year's championship will increase by $1.3 million to a total of $5.8 million. The largest prize fund in women's major championship golf will increase by a further $1 million to no less than $6.8 million in 2022. This is more than double the prize fund from 2018. However, when we look at the men's side of the competition, the men's British Open this year had a total prize purse of $11.5 million, with the winner receiving just over $2 million US dollars, more than double the women's first prize.
So earlier this year, there was a study that came out from the BBC, and they look at the prize money in sport. They compare men's and women's sports and the prize money at the same level of competition. And I think a lot of the time we get caught up in thinking that the discrepancies exist probably in the sports that pay less, but I think golf is a really clear example. Golf is one of the sports where there's the highest level of pay inequality that exists between the men's and women's. They're getting paid in the tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars, but there's still a huge gap in what exists between men's and women's prize money. So if you look at all three of golf's traditional mixed majors, men's first place prizes are all more than $1 million higher than women's. The report found that female golfers are among the highest earners in elite sport, but are still well behind their male counterparts, specifically in terms of prize money won at majors. The BBC highlighted the differences in prize money between the 2021 US Open, which offers $2.25 million for the men's winner and $1 million for the women's champion. It also found that the gap has actually increased, having gone from $900,000 in 2014 to $1.25 million in 2021. this is not what we want to see happening. We want to see that gap reducing rather than going the opposite way. And I was trying to have a think, Mills, whether this is related to the pandemic or if there are other factors that are at play here.
Yeah, like I definitely think obviously the pandemic has impacted sport in a number of ways across the globe. But I think the example from the Australian Open earlier this year is a really good example of how the equality in pay doesn't have to necessarily be impacted. It can be kind of spread out in different ways. So the Oz Open reduced the payout to winners by 33% compared to 2020. However, the overall prize pot was actually increased. This was done to increase the money won by lower ranked players who exited in earlier rounds and whose income had been affected by the pandemic. So although this example from the Australian Open isn't one of pay inequality between genders, I think it demonstrates that regardless of the impacts of the pandemic, there are ways to redistribute funds and prize money to work towards equality.
Yeah, I love that. Let's take a look at what to watch.
It's Paralympics time, Chloe. I'm so excited. As this episode goes live, it'll be tonight that the opening.
Sorry, Chloe's I'm doing a happy dance.
She's doing a happy dance in my computer screen and I'm getting very distracted.
Okay.
But I love it. I'm vibing it too. Yeah, so tonight, 9 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time will be the opening ceremony with all the action kicking off on Wednesday. Channel 7 and 7 Plus will be showing all of this live, so make sure that that app is ready to go.
And in netball, before netball, we'll be doing all your Paralympics coverage too on Instagram, same as we did for the Olympics. We'll have the classifications up there, schedules, results, medals, what to watch.
Everything.
Anything else I missed? All the things.
All the things, basically.
All the things.
All everything. I'm so excited.
I can't wait. In netball this Saturday, the 28th of August at 2:30 p.m., the New South Wales Swifts versus the Giants in the grand final. It's on at Nissan Arena. It'll be broadcast live on Channel 9 and the Netball Live app. Up the Giants.
And finally, a what to listen to. Chloe, I believe that we have got a special something launching this week on Thursday. Can you tell me? Tell me.
Yes, season two of the TFAP podcast is finally here. It's been a big break since season one. We're kicking off this Thursday with
Tyler Wright. I sang her name. That's so fun. Tyler Wright, world champion surfer. I'm excited.
Make sure you've subscribed to the Female Athlete Project wherever you get your podcast so that you get a notification when it goes live Thursday morning. See you there.
You.
And that's the wrap.
See you next week, Chloe.
Bye.